Welcome to the Embodiment Conference. My name is. Oh, it's just not going to work at all. Never accept a dare from Mark Walsh. Welcome to the Embodiment Conference. My name is Leslie Kaminoff, and you may know me as the co-author of the international bestseller, Yoga Anatomy. But I'm also the co-founder of yogaanatomy.net. Now, that's a platform we built 11 years ago where we offer online courses and in-depth anatomy modules that support teachers, teacher trainings, and students all over the world. So that's why we are thrilled to be sponsoring all the incredible sessions here on the Yoga Channel, including my own. And if you feel a connection with the way I teach, I have some great news for you. We are extending scholarships to all members of the Embodiment Conference. And you can find that scholarship info and links to yogaanatomy.net in the description for this presentation and in the show notes. In the meantime, enjoy your body, enjoy your breath, and enjoy your conference. And I'll see you online.
Okay, welcome back to the Embodiment Conference. If you'd like to come on the screen, put your hand up electronically and we can bring you in. Today we have a bit of a treat for you. This is Eddie Stern. So I have heard good things about Eddie as a yoga teacher, as an author, as an Ashtangi, teacher of the stars, general nice guy from what I hear, a lot to offer. I said, I'd like to host this one because I'd like to do it in the background. So here I am and here Eddie is. Eddie, sir, over to you. Off you go.
Thank you very much, Mark, and thank you, Mayan, for all your amazing hard work putting the yoga platform together. And as well, thanks everyone for joining. So good morning from New York City. The topic today is yoga for higher consciousness. This is in a little bit of, I guess you could say, I don't know if oxymoron is the right word. However, yoga is basically, that's what yoga is for. Yoga is for higher consciousness. In the ancient Hindu texts, this is everything that is spoken about. And I know there's a tremendous amount of information in classes and practices that are occurring at the Embodiment Conference. So it's really a joy to be a part of it. Probably a lot of the things I'm going to do are not that unique. You've done a lot of these things before. Many of you are yoga teachers and yoga practitioners. So basically what I'm going to do is I'm going to share some practices with you that I like to do, and I'm going to share some thoughts with you on some of these Hindu perspectives on yoga in regards to consciousness. So, and I don't want to talk too long. I'd like to get into the practices fairly quickly. So, the way that we look at consciousness in the West and the way that consciousness was looked at in India, in for whether it's Buddhist traditions, Hindu traditions, the various yoga traditions, they're slightly different. In the West, we quite often take consciousness to be something which is a property of the brain, or we take consciousness that as a property of something. There are views in the West that are not physicalist views of consciousness. There are non-physicalist views. But the idea that consciousness is everything is something which is fairly unique to the yogic thought systems. And so when we say that consciousness is everything, that also can become a difficult or complicated thing to understand. So, of course, I don't completely understand it myself. This is something I think a lot about. And yoga specifically is supposed to give us that experience of ourselves as consciousness beyond the body, beyond the breath, beyond our thoughts, beyond our intellect, but not separate from them. So the body is not negated in yoga. The breath is not negated in yoga. The mind, our thoughts, our feelings, our emotions, they're not negated. They're just considered to be our mutable or changeable self. So we have an unchanging self, which is called the self, And then we have a changing self, which is made up of our intellect, our ability to categorize things and choose and make decisions, our feelings, our thoughts, and our emotions, our sense organs, our breath, and our body. So these are all part of our mutable or changing self. They are not self, but they aren't truly who we are. And yoga says we suffer when we think that we are only the mutable things. When we think that we are only these changeable things, that's when we begin to suffer due to that identification. But when we see that we're more than this mutable changing self, that's when we have an experience of consciousness or of presence or of awareness as the source of our being. So the self is considered to be the source of all experience. And of course, everything is experience. And it also exists as the potential for all knowing, the potential for all creativity, the potential for all the different modes of being. So our consciousness from a Hindu perspective would be, it is the source of all experience. When it modifies itself, it becomes all of those experiences. And in that, it is the source of all creativity, all potential, and is itself all experience. So we're going to do a few practices to tune into the different modes of experience that consciousness takes the form of. And those are our body, our breath, and our awareness. The breathing practices we're going to do are going to give us an experiential sense of the four main places where breath is occurring in our body. The yoga practices we're going to do are very simple lying down postures to begin to address and stimulate the parasympathetic nervous system and downregulate the sympathetic. If you've taken any of the classes in the embodiment conference, you've probably heard these terms already. This is the foundation of all trauma-informed yoga. And then the meditation that we're going to do is going to be based on the five bodies, which are the five different ways we embody our consciousness, or yes, let's just leave it at that for now, and how we can travel through all those different levels in order to have a deep experience of self. Okay, so that's all. I will look at my clock to make sure I don't run long. And I'm going to move back a little from you. And so we're going to look at the belly, the diaphragm, the throat, and the nasal cavity for the breathing. So I'm going to start with a very simple thing. You've done this a million times if you've done yoga before. We're just going to put one hand on your belly and another hand on top of that. And we're going to do the breath where the abdomen moves. So as you inhale, the abdomen is going to come out. And you just relax the belly into your hands. And as you exhale, the belly will come in away from your hands. So what you can try doing is as you inhale and the belly rests out into your hands, don't move your hands. I'm sort of resting one hand on my foot here. So when I exhale, my belly is pulling away from my hands, but my hands are not moving with my belly. Okay? So I inhale into the palms of my hands, and I keep my hands here, and then I exhale, and I pull my hands away from my belly. And that's all we're doing. I'm not checking my text, all I'm doing is putting my clock in front of me. Okay, so we'll do this for about a minute. Inhaling into the palms of the hands, and exhaling, pulling the belly away from the hands, back towards the body. And if you like, you can inhale and exhale to the same length. So if you want to try inhaling for a count of 5 seconds or 6 seconds, you can. And then exhale for the same length, which is basically the resonance frequency, bringing the respiration, the heart rate variability, the monitoring of your blood pressure and the brainwave function all into the same harmonious synchrony at the same time. So the abdominal breathing like this is the experience of the diaphragm moving up and down as we breathe. Now we're going to move our hands to the lower ribs to have the experience of the diaphragm expanding out to the sides and inwards as we breathe. So just with your hands on your lower ribs, inhale, push your hands out to the sides with the ribs. And exhale, let the ribs come back in. You can be sitting on a floor, you can be sitting in a chair, you can be lying down in a bed for any of these. If you do a slight pelvic tuck, you might even feel the ribs moving more. Inhaling into the palms of the hands. And exhaling, the ribs coming back in. So this is the experience of the diaphragm expanding out to the sides as you inhale. And contracting inwardly as you exhale. Another two breaths like this. My thumbs are a little bit in the back of my body. So you can even reach your thumbs a little further back towards the back ribs if you like and feel your back ribs moving. That's a really soothing sensation. And then the back ribs are massaging your kidneys. And the kidneys support the lungs. In traditional Chinese medicine, and the lungs support the heart. So breathing into the back ribs near the kidneys, an amazing thing to do to rejuvenate the flow of energy and blood circulation at the kidneys. Good, now let's relax the hands down onto the knees. And next, we're going to bring the awareness to the throat diaphragm. And we're going to stimulate the vagus nerve in the throat by doing the humming bee breath. The vagus nerve controls inflammation in the body. It is the communicator between the brain and all of the thoracic and abdominal organs. And as well, when information flows are smoothly moving through the vagus nerve, as you have probably heard so far in this conference, our levels of anxiety are lowered. The parasympathetic nervous system, which is what the vagus nerve primarily is more activated, and our social interaction is more fluid. So we're going to stimulate these vagus nerves in the throat by doing the humming bee breath. And when you do the humming bee breath, bring your awareness to the very, very back of your throat. It's not humming at the lips with an M sound. It's humming way in the back of the throat near the soft palate. So please inhale a breath anywhere, and the breath can go anywhere. And then exhale, making a humming sound in the back of the throat, a little high pitched. Just for the entire length of your own exhale. And we'll do that four more times. If you want to close your ears with your fingers or your thumbs, you can do that and you'll hear the humming even more loudly and it will resonate in the skull. On your last one, try smiling as you do it, and the smile will bring the sound even further back in the throat and make you feel happy too. Then relax the breathing. Okay, so the last of the breath awareness practices we're doing is to breathe high into your nasal cavity. So when breath comes into or air comes into our nostrils, it moves in three different directions. And the direction we're going to focus on is drawing the air high into the nasal cavity near where the olfactory nerves are. So you can imagine that you are breathing in the scent of a rose or sandalwood or jasmine or bread cooking in the kitchen or chocolate chip cookies. Whatever your favorite smell is, breathe that in high into the nasal cavity, imagining you're smelling this scent. And watch what happens to your breath, how long the breath becomes. And when you exhale, keep your awareness high in the nasal cavity. Inhale, imagining the scent of one of your favorite flavors. Exhale, keeping your awareness high in the nasal cavity. We'll do this three more times. See if your breath naturally becomes longer by not trying to breathe into your lungs, but only breathing high near the sense of smell. Maybe there's a feeling of expansion or lightness that occurs. And then let's relax the breathing. Okay, so these are four different areas. We've done breathing with the diaphragm moving down and up, so the belly comes out and in. This is sending messages from the enteric nervous system in the abdominal region, the intestines, through the vagus nerve up to the brain of rhythmicity, safety, evenness and balance. This is the first level, and this is why this is very relaxing for people. The second, holding the ribs, was to begin to bring awareness to the expansion of the diaphragm moving out and in, which is a natural movement of the diaphragm, and thus giving stimulation to the vagal nerves and the many other nerves that are entering into the diaphragm muscle that sometimes get ignored. And we feel a fuller expansion of breath as well as massaging the liver on this side of the body, the spleen and the kidneys. And then we focused on breathing in the area of the throat through the humming sound. And this does two very important things. One, stimulates the vagal nerves in the throat, balances the baroreceptors, which are monitoring blood pressure. Next, it is stimulating the soft and hard palate, and resting right on in the brain structures above the hard palate are going to be these deep brain structures related to limbic system and other system functions like the pineal gland, the olfactory nerves, as well as the hippocampus related to memory, and the suprachiasmatic nucleus, which is monitoring and ruling over our circadian rhythms and works highly in tune with melatonin. Melatonin is a very important hormone because when it is released, it's bathing all of our cells in a temporary non-aging fluid. So when you put cells into melatonin, they stop aging. It is literally, according to the yogis, the nectar of immortality. So we're stimulating all of these deep brain structures. And then last, we were breathing through the nasal cavity, high in the nasal cavity at the olfactory nerves. Now, olfactory nerves are really interesting because, first of all, there are two places where the brain grows out from the skull and connects with the world. The first is our eyes. So our eyes are actually little brain tissue touching the world. And the next is the olfactory nerves, our sense of smell. The olfactory nerves are one of the places in the brain where neurogenesis, or the creation of new cells, is occurring. So there's a deep brain structure where new brain cells are being created and moving up into the olfactory nerves. And the olfactory nerves go into the bulb and then connect with our hippocampus, which is processing memory, which is another place in the brain where neurogenesis occurs. So smell is deeply connected with memory, because we're constantly creating these new cells and these brain structures, and as well associating smell with the memory centers and states of awareness, states of consciousness, et cetera. So by breathing high in the nasal cavity, we are stimulating these, again, these centers related to memory. Now, why is memory important according to the yogis? Memory is important for a bunch of reasons according to the yogis. One of those reasons is because when we want to control, quote unquote, control the mind, or deal with, say we want to meditate. I'm assuming most people who are here have meditated before. If you've ever meditated before and you want to, you can put a number one into the chat room. So, and then if you've ever meditated before and you've ever had a thought while meditating, then put the number two into the chat room. Basically, everyone who's ever meditated has this struggle with thinking, with thoughts. And the yogic idea behind the thoughts that are arising during, I see a lot of twos, so I'm not alone having thoughts while I meditate. One of the yogic reasons given why we have thoughts while we meditate is that our memory isn't strong enough to keep it fixed where we want our awareness to be. So when the memory is not deep and strong, we forget who we truly are. Our awareness leaves our inner self as pure being, as our sense of being, and it identifies with the things that are happening around us. And that's a process of forgetfulness. So if you're chanting a mantra, say you do TM meditation and you're repeating your mantra and you have thoughts, let's not use TM as an example. Because thoughts are not a problem in TM. But say you're repeating a mantra and you forget the mantra and you start thinking all of your thoughts. The yogic reason why you've started thinking and got lost in the thoughts is your memory forgot to stay fixed with the mantra or with your breath or through whatever it is that you're meditating on. So the first step of strengthening memory is so you can keep your awareness where you want it to be. At the end of the day, the deepest memory we have is the memory of who we truly are. Okay, there's a lot of other interesting things about memory, but I won't go into them now because we only have 1 hour. Okay, so these are four experiences of breath: abdomen, the diaphragm muscle itself, the throat, and the nasal cavity, and how these all connect to not only embodied experience, but deeper levels of our experience as human beings and how we connect and relate to the world and experiences around us. Okay, so let's come to lie on our backs now. We're going to do some super, super simple lying down postures. Nothing fancy. And then we're going to do meditation on the five bodies. So I'll do these along with you. Let's just lie down on your back for a moment. And you can stretch your legs out if you're comfortable to do that. If for any reason you are not comfortable with your legs straight on the floor, you can keep your knees bent for the entirety of these practices, because we will be bending our knees at one point. Okay, so Let's do the first practice of bringing your legs together and resting your hands on the floor by your sides. If you have any shoulder impingements or shoulder problems, you can do all these things with bent elbows, or just go to the extent of the range of your motion. As we inhale, you're going to raise your right arm straight up towards the ceiling, and then begin to bring it over your head as much as you comfortably can. Perhaps it goes to the floor behind you, perhaps it doesn't. And we'll stay here lengthening through the right-hand side of the body, breathing. One, you can play around with the position of your hand. Maybe you're more comfortable with your thumb pointing down. Maybe you're more comfortable with the back of the hand flat on the floor. Two. And exhale your arm back down by your side. Inhale your left arm over your head to the floor behind you. Lengthen through the left-hand side of the body and breathe. One, two, three, and exhale the arm down by your side. And now we'll do both arms. We'll call this a lying down sun salutation. Inhale both arms over the head and breathe some long, slow breaths. And just see where your breath naturally goes. And wherever it naturally goes, extend it slightly by, say, about a second on the inhale and a second on the exhale. And on your next exhale, lower the hands down to the floor by your sides. Please bend your knees so your feet are flat on the floor. You might feel a small little arch or pelvic tilt in your back as you bend your knees. Keep that pelvic tilt. Pull the lower belly very lightly in and lift your hips a few inches up off the ground. Doesn't matter how high. Maybe it's 2 inches, maybe it's 6 inches. Stay here and breathe slow breaths. Slightly lengthening the inhalation and lengthening the exhalation to your comfort level. And if you're able to, just gently lift the anal sphincter muscle here. And on the next exhale, slowly lower your spine to the floor. Straighten the legs out on the floor one more time. Legs are together. Do a lying down sun salute. Inhale the arms over your head to the floor behind you. And if they touch the floor, that's fine. If they don't touch the floor, that's okay too. The elbows bend, that's no problem. The hands are even spread wide apart, no problem. Just breathe here, enjoying the sensation of the stretch. Lengthen your exhale slightly in this position. One more inhale. And then exhale the arms down by the sides. Bend the knees so the feet are flat on the floor. And now we've already gone one direction, lifting the hips up. Now we have to do the opposite, lifting the head and shoulders up. So on your next exhale, lift your head and shoulders off the floor, reach your hands towards your heels, and look between the knees and breathe. We'll stay here for 5 breaths. One, two, three, four, five. Exhale, slowly come down and straighten the legs out on the floor. Okay, next, simple posture for opening the fronts of the hip flexors. You're gonna bend your right knee so your foot is flat on the floor. And then we'll cross the ankle so it's resting just above the knee And then let your right knee open out to the side. So it's not a spinal twist, but we rest our ankle on the knee and then open the knee out to the side. And then inhale the arms over the head. So it's like a lying down sun salute with the legs in a figure four position. And breathe. One. Two. Three. One more breath. And exhale the arms down. Straighten the leg out onto the floor. Bend your left knee so your foot is flat on the floor, right next to the right knee. Cross your left ankle on top of your right knee and let the left knee open towards the left. Inhale the arms over the head. Lengthen through the ribs. Feel the front of the left hip flexor opening and breathe. One, two, three, again inhale, and exhale the arms down. Straighten your left leg out onto the floor. I'm going to do two more lying down positions. Please bend your right knee again so your foot is flat on the floor. And now cross your right foot onto the floor on the outside of your left knee. Open the arms out to the side. We're going to do a lying down twist. And gently let your right knee fall to the left. But your foot is going to stop the rotation of the body because it's right next to your left leg. So my knee doesn't come all the way to the ground. It's being blocked because my knee is right next to, my foot is next to my left knee. So it's only a partial twist. And then you can either look over your shoulder or keep looking straight up towards the sky and breathe. Let your awareness rest in the body. You can move your awareness through the different body parts, becoming aware of what your left foot is doing, aware of your hands. Let your awareness fill the pelvic floor. And then come back to center. Straighten your right leg out. Bend your left knee so your foot is flat on the floor. Bring your left foot on the outside of your right knee so your foot is touching your knee. And then gently let your left leg fall to the right. A little bit of a twist, and you'll feel that your twist is blocked because your left foot is now under your right knee. Let your awareness fill your legs. Let your awareness fill the pelvic floor. Let your awareness fill your torso. The hands and the arms. And the face. And come back to center, straighten the leg out, and rest the hands down by the sides. Okay. From here, you have a choice. You can either remain lying on your back with your legs straight. Lie on your back with your knees bent, feet flat on the floor and the knees touching. Or you can come to a seated position. And we're going to do the meditation on the five bodies. So this is going to last for about 15 minutes. So make yourself comfortable in your favorite meditative pose. Okay, so there'll be a bunch of things here that you again are familiar with. which makes it sometimes easier to do these practices. So keeping the eyes closed or gazing at the floor right in front of you, let your awareness fill your feet. The toes, the arches of the feet, your heels, the ankles. Let the awareness fill the feet. And then let your awareness fill your shins and your calves. Let your awareness fill your knees. And if you don't feel that happening, that's okay. Just say the words in your mind. And that's enough to give some direction to your awareness to begin moving towards those body parts. Allow your awareness to fill your thighs. And then fill the pelvic floor with your awareness. Fill your fingers and hands with awareness. And your arms, including the elbows and the shoulders. And then fill the whole torso with your awareness. The belly, the chest, and the back. Filling the neck and the skull with your awareness. And allowing awareness to fill all the muscles in your face. Feel the awareness below the surface of your skin of the face. Who are you below the way that our faces look? And then moving to the inner body, feel the brain. Fill the brain with awareness. The trachea and the esophagus. Fill the heart and the lungs with awareness. The diaphragm. The liver on the right-hand side of the body, underneath the ribs, attaching to the bottom of the diaphragm. The stomach in the middle. The spleen on the right-hand side under the ribs. The pancreas behind the stomach, filled with awareness. The intestines, the appendix, and fill the kidneys in the center, a little bit in the back of the body with awareness. fill the pituitary gland with awareness in the brain. The pineal gland, releasing melatonin to every cell in the body. The thyroid and parathyroid at the throat, the butterfly-shaped gland. Fill the thymus with awareness at the sternum. The adrenal glands sitting above the kidneys. And the glands of sexual reproduction. So that as awareness fills the endocrine system, there's a smooth, harmonious flow of communication between all of these glands and all of these molecules that get released, that fluctuate, that we identify with as our emotions and our feelings, our perceptions. And this is the Annamaya, the body of food, the physical body, the pain body, according to the Buddhists, the body where we experience sensations and feelings, identifications with pleasure or pain that dictate how we move and how we perceive. Let your awareness fill this entire body as a whole. Let the awareness fill the legs and the torso and the arms and the head as one whole, complete thing. Then we'll move to the pranamaya, our body of breath, of vital energy. So first let your awareness fill your breathing. Maybe feel as though you are being breathed. Not that you are the one breathing, but you are being breathed by the biosphere that we live in. Prana is that which makes things move. Makes the breath move, makes the mind move at the same time. Prana can be slow and deliberate and deep, or it can be chaotic and fractured, superficial. Prana is just a modification of consciousness. So allow the prana body now and the feeling of breath to become slow and deliberate. And the deliberate part is allowing yourself to be breathed by the biosphere. And the feeling of trust and faith that comes from that. prana fills the body like heat fills an iron ball. They are one and the same. Now let's let our awareness fill the manomaya, the sheath of manas, that which measures sensations and information, feelings and thoughts, as Daniel Siegel likes to say, but also memory. Wherever you feel a sensation or a feeling or a thought now, let your awareness fill that sensation, feeling, thought, or any incoming information, which might be a sound or light through the eyelids or an itch on your skin. Fill that with awareness. And then we move to the vijnana maya, the sheath of the intellect, where we decide things, where our perceptions are formed of how we respond to an idea, a thought, or a situation. If information of sound comes in the ear and it happens to be a car going down the street, the mind will organize that information as sound and the intellect will decide that it's a car. So the intellect is where we begin to choose to focus our awareness, choose to direct our lives, mold our perceptions. And experience our purpose. To strengthen the vijnana is to form a connection with knowledge and certitude within you, to connect you to your individual purpose. Fill your awareness in the vijnana maya. And then we'll move to the ananda maya, the sheath of bliss, of joy. And each of the bodies is said to be shaped as a bird, with a head, two wings, a trunk, and a tail. And the head of the bliss body is love, the right wing is joy, the left wing is delight. The trunk is bliss. And the tail, our support, is consciousness, pure being and the potential for all experience. Consciousness is the support of the bliss body, of delight, joy, the feeling of bliss and love. And that is the support of the body of the intellect, the mind, the breath, and the physical body. All of these are one thing. See if you can feel the body of joy permeating your intellect, feel the body of joy permeating your mind. Emotions, feeling, thoughts, and memory. Feel the body of joy whose support is consciousness permeating your breath. And the body of joy permeating your physical sheath. And then with that awareness, fold that awareness back in on itself, seeing if you can sense a feeling of being aware of your awareness. And then sense the light coming through your eyelids to begin to emerge from the meditation. Sound in your ears. Sensation in the body, maybe of your hands resting on your knees or in your lap, or your body resting on the floor. The breath in the nostrils. And then feeling fully embodied with awareness, begin to gently come out from meditation, move the body a little bit, gentle movements any way that you'd like to. Round the spine or stretch the neck. And as you're ready, you can open the eyes, looking down first. See the world emerge in your field of awareness as you open your eyes. As non-different from you. And then as you're ready, we can all look back at our computers. Okay, so this was the practice of the meditation on the five bodies. This is from the Taittiriya Upanishad, which dates back well over 2,000 years. And in the second chapter of this Taittiriya Upanishad, these three bodies and five sheaths are discussed, and they form the foundational principles for many of the yogic practices and many of the practices that you see today, even yoga nidra and things like that, have come after this meditation on the five bodies. So we use all of these principles and practices, expand on them, and apply them to the relevancy of our everyday life. Okay, before that, we did some simple lying down asanas, and then a practice to feel the breath at the four different places of the body and how those affect the brain and nervous system. Okay, so Mark, it is 5 minutes before the hour. Wow. And thank you so much for having me join you today. It's really an honor and delight to be here. And I give it back to you.
Eddie, proper bloody yoga, as my mum would say. Not some pretzeling nonsense, the real deal. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. I was joining in much of that and Loved it. Really happy to give you a stage here, and we'll definitely promote this recording. Your website's been shared there by Bears if people want to know more. Yeah, much needed. Lovely. Okay, so just practicalities. There will be a coffee break after this. The best part of any conference is meeting random people and chatting about what you've been doing. So if you go to the portal, top right, there's three little dots, and you can click on coffee break, and you'll be magically transported into a room with some human beings that you can chat with. So you're not just being sort of talked at, you can chat to people. The Facebook group is pretty gentle and civilized for a Facebook group. So if you've not joined the Facebook group, then do chat. We, of course, are selling the recordings. If you want to help us get back to break-even point, we're not far off now. Your support is appreciated. And we have a special offer till the end of today, which is a whole bunch of gifts from different teachers that's part of that offer, which is just for today under upgrade. Mayan, what else is good coming up from the yoga world? We have some other decent yoga teachers coming up, no doubt.
We do indeed. Very, very decent. Let me just see what's probably recommended from me today. So on the yoga track today, we have a polyvagal theory yoga and pain session by Marlisa Sullivan at 10 p.m. UK time. And if you are interested in yoga for children, we have 8 p.m. navigating anxiety in children for caregivers. So both of those are pretty cool coming up this evening.
Cool. People might like Sharon Salzberg tomorrow, who's an awesome meditation teacher. And Steve and I are doing Chakra Unicorn Rainbow Phallus meditation, which will not be serious and is a bit of light relief should you feel like a giggle. It's all been a bit serious, so we're going to add that in as a bit of fun, probably getting all sorts of trouble on the internet in the meantime. So I think that's everything. We always hand over to the speaker for the final word. We ask for one sentence, top embodiment tip, and then we're going to put them all in a book together at the end. So Eddie, this is a pleasure. I'll definitely give you one of a shout. I'll give you a shout when I'm in New York if you fancy a bagel or a coffee or an organic chai latte or something. And yeah, final top tip from you, sir.
Final top tip? Well, I think the basic yoga tip, keep practicing. From your practice, all is revealed. We get guidance from amazing conferences like this, but it's up to us to incorporate it into our lives, make it an actuality. That's all. I don't have a whole lot of tips, I guess.
Beautiful. Real body yoga. Loved it. Thank you very much, Eddie. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. I'll see you in the coffee breaks. Bye bye.
Thank you all. Bye-bye.